All right, everyone, we are now joined by today's winning crew chief, Rudy Fugel, of the number 24 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. If you have a question for Rudy, just raise your hand and we will get a mic to you. We'll start with Rob over there on the left.
Rob T. Youngson for thePonyFinish.net. Rudy, congratulations on your second victory of the year. Yeah, just kind of curious, what's the not so much secret ingredient, but what's basically been the combination that gets you and William to succeed on road courses in the last few years?
Yeah, really, we the first year when the old car, the Hendrick Motorsports was far and above, you know, the way to go and the winners of all the road course races when I came in, and then we switched to 2022 with a new car, and that wasn't the case. We were terrible. Qualified in the 20s and ran there for the most part. So we've been working steadily, since then and kind of hit it on and off last year. So we hit on some things. Obviously, Indy Road Course, we started last and hit on some things, and then in Watkins Glen winning that race, and the Roval was second. So just been steadily working on it and learning a little bit week in and week out, or that we race road courses.
We are also now joined by today's winning driver, the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix at COTA, William Byron. We'll continue with questions. Just raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Zach and then go back to Rob. Zach
Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. William, congratulations on this. What can you take away from today's race and apply to other road courses throughout the rest of this season? Obviously, you and the 48 had a lot of speed, but the Toyotas were up there as we expected as well. So yep. What do you feel like you can take away from this?
I think it's just part of the process and the evolution of our notebook for these racetracks. So I feel like for us, we can just take from this just another data point to, you know, of what we need to improve. I mean, I don't think anyone's car was driving perfect there. Just the way that this racetrack is with the ride over the bumps and the way the curbing is, and this track's pretty rough. So I feel like it drives different than anywhere, but at the same time, you can kind of put this one in the notebook and say, okay, you know, when we go to, I don't know what's next, but whenever we go to the next one, we know what to work on, and we'll just try to keep building, you know, at each one. But I feel like we've gotten into rhythm, and, we just have gotten a good feel for these places.
Rob
T. Johnson for thePonyFinish.net. William, congratulations on your second victory of the year, and second road course victory, I believe, in your career as well. I'm just kind of curious. I know we talked about it when you won the pole yesterday, but you know, what's your comfort level and confidence level when it comes to attacking these different road courses in the Cup Series?
I don't know if I'm the most confident one when I show up, but I feel like I just focus on, you know, the details that it takes. And once I kind of find that rhythm and cadence of doing the shifting and the braking, and you just start to fall into that place that you've been familiar with, it just kind of, you know, gets you through. So each one's a little bit different, and I feel like the quicker we can find that rhythm and kind of find that feel that I need in practice, the quicker we go. So it's different every week. You know, I think, we just put a good week of prep in, and it was nice to have another 20 minutes, you know, because that first session I was just getting up to speed at the end of it, so it was nice to have another one to kind of get going.
We'll go to Mark up here.
Mark Garrow, PRN. William, congratulations on the win. What's your confidence level now? 6 wins a year ago, 2 wins in the opening 6 races this year. Who knows how this season is going to unfold for you in that regard, but it seems like now you're winning more races than anybody at Hendrick Motorsports. Your learning curve seems to be so quick. Just how do you feel about where you are right now in this deal?
I just feel like it reaffirms that the process that I'm doing during the week is correct. So if I do those things that I know are right, and the people around me are there to help me do those things and keep the ship kind of going, I know that stuff works. So and I have a great team, you know, and I think that when I am able to plug into what we're doing as a whole, and Rudy and I are able to have conversations during the week, and I get to a place where I feel confident, all that stuff clicks. So the sport's really hard. it's very easy to get caught up in all the moving parts and all the different challenges, but I just know that if I do, I guess what, you know, is normal for me, I feel like it's good.
What was it like at the end of the race? Christopher's got four laps better tires. That's 80 turns. I think people don't realize it's not just four laps. That's a lot of tire wear here at COTA. He was catching you. I mean, are you still like, okay, I got enough time, just hit my line. And I mean, what were you thinking there at the end as he was catching you, but you were still?
Yeah, I mean, you say that, and Rudy had the right strategy, I guess. That's what I was thinking in the first stage. He told me all week that the two-stopper was going to be the way to go. So I didn't realize that at the end, but yeah, I mean, it was just trying to have, you know, not make mistakes. I feel like I made a lot of micro errors in the last 10 laps, and so I just gotta calm down a little bit and just kind of, you know, look back at those 10 laps and think about what could I do better in the car to stay mentally locked in and not get flustered by the mirror or looking, you know, seeing him closing in a braking zone. So I just feel like there's, you know, things I can look back on to improve, but he definitely, you know, had fresher tires, and I'm sure that helped a little bit, but yeah. I mean, it's good, but it's why we try to work harder and improve. But Christopher is really good. It seems like when he gets a taste of, you know, the win, and at the end he's turns it up. So I knew that last lap he was going to be pushing hard, but Rudy gave me an idea of how much gap I had, and I felt I kind of did the math in my head coming off turn one. I'm like, if I don't mess up, I think I'm going to be fine. But yeah, he was pushing hard.
Got Dustin up front.
Dustin Lovino, Jayski, for both of you guys. Every year, the next-gen car, the 2014, has been the first team to win multiple times in the season. How important is it to have that early season success?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can collect some points, collect playoff points early in the year, confidence, all those things, you know, you just got to do it. And I think, again, this is this process. We work really hard during the offseason and prepare for this first chunk of races, you know, and it proves that what we're doing is correct. So, just like William said. So, but yeah, anytime you can get momentum going, get the team fired up, get everybody fired up, and there's going to be plenty of ups and downs this year. So, anytime you can get them, you got to grab them.
Yeah, I mean, he said it really well. I feel like this, it kind of ebbs and flows. So we're on a good flow right now. In some ways, in the win category, I'd like to finish, you know, better on the off days too. So I'm working on that every week. There's a few guys in the series that, you know, Chase does a really good job when he doesn't have the day, you know, he wants, and he still finishes well. So I'm trying to still look at those days and how I can improve, like last week. But I feel like the ups are up right now, and we just got to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Jeff?
Did you guys anticipate there was going to be more cautions today? And why didn't you think there was many cautions? It was just the stage cautions.
Yeah, I think the reliability is pretty good in this car. I feel like everyone's gotten pretty familiar with all the parts and pieces, and there's a lot of really good teams and drivers that you know, don't make a lot of mistakes. And so I think that creates it. I think the track is really big, and there's a lot of runoff here. So the runoff is an advantage to not having cautions, because you don't have a wall to hit. You know, if you miss a braking zone, you know, I missed turn one on the restart, and all I was worried about was the gravel. I wasn't worried about hitting the wall. So I think that's part of it for sure. And if you look at road course racing in general, watching F1 races, there's no cautions really, except for the street races where guys, you know, hit walls. So I feel like that's part of it.
I only thing I thought about was the first three or four laps when they were all bunched up and everybody was excited. Somebody makes a mistake. Other than that, once we got through that, I felt like it was going to be this way. So. I thought the racing was still pretty dang good. Most of around the track is just the way it goes.
Justin?
Wyatt Watson with FrontStretch.com. Rudy, a question for you. The strategy played a key role today, obviously. As soon as Christopher Bell showed his hand after that first stage break, what were your thoughts going into that?
Yeah, I kind of expected, honestly, I expected about 6 to 8 cars to two-stop it. As William mentioned, I kind of was on the two-stop bandwagon for most of the week. But he wasn't feeling it as much, and and that's what matters the most. So I knew it wouldn't be in a bad spot to short the stages. So, you know, we kind of got intel that Bell was going to do the opposite, basically, of us two. So if he could get a stage win and two stop it, he was going to do it. And then they had a bad pit stop, it took a lot while to get fuel in the car, it looked like, and that really put him back. But so he did an amazing – that team did an amazing job coming back to the field. But obviously it still worked out for us, so thankfully.
Steven, and then Jerry.
Steven, some front stretch. I have one question for William, then I have another question for both of you guys. William, can you kind of take me through those, you know, laps ticking down, like, you know, 12 to go, you know, to like 5 to go. Obviously, the 20 was, you know, closing in, but you had a manageable gap. Were you kind of trying to just conserve a little bit and just kind of save as much as you could for the car towards the end?
Yeah, I mean, my brakes were getting pretty hot, so I was pushing pretty hard, and I think, yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of laps, you know, around here. I mean, it's just, I don't know, 4 miles or whatever it is, so just doesn't go by quickly, so you're trying to just kind of, I wouldn't say boredom's the right word, but you're just, it's taking a long time to get to the checkered, so you're just kind of wondering what is going to happen, and it's easy to kind of fall out of that rhythm because of that. And this track doesn't flow a whole lot. It's very technical. So you go from very technical S section to a hard braking zone, and then you go to another hard braking zone. And it's not very similar to anywhere we go. So I feel like it's easy to get out of rhythm. So that's what I noticed today.
And then the next question I had was, so of your guys' 12 wins together, 7 of them have actually come in the first 8 races of the season. Is that just coincidence, or is there something, you know, special about those first, the start of the season, or maybe the tracks that are on the schedule then?
Yeah, it's just a lot of hard work. You know, I know everyone works hard, but I think we really go in the off season, and sometimes we want it a little too much, or I do, and just kind of make little errors in the beginning of the season, but typically that's, you know, when the desire is high, and so just trying to keep that throughout the summer this year and keep the stamina, you know, on my side physically, to be able to have that summer that we really want to have. But it's a long season, so you just got to kind of take it when it comes.
Yeah, it's I mean, we never stop. It's you know, once Thanksgiving's over, it's nothing but working on races like it's going to be next week. So you know, that preparation, like you said, everybody works hard, but that preparation and just trying to be fast starters since the playoff system was created, that's huge. Like, you start stacking points, you start doing all the right things to relieve a little pressure so that you race more free. And no matter what series it is, it's always been something I've strived for.
Go to Jerry, then Zach.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. I know you said felt like that you had to worry a little bit, but at some point when you're leading 42 laps out there, don't you get confident, like, hey, I'm gonna win this race? I mean, you said you were worried a little bit about Bell, but.
No, this everyone's too good, and the car's too close, and everyone's too good. I think it's not, even though the gaps might be what they are, it's really easy for somebody to close. So, you know, it really just takes sliding a tire one time, or, you know, being a little bit looser that run, or a little bit tighter, or whatever. So it's pretty close.
I asked because I was out there shooting photos about going all the way to the end of the track. And, I mean, you'd come over the hill, and you were second or so ahead of everybody else. And it just looked like you were dominant. That's why I was wondering if it ever, you know, weighs on you that, hey, we've got a good car, we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, like, taking it easy. Like, I think the laps that he would tell me that was a really good lap, sometimes I would slow down the next lap. So I think it's that hard to make pace, you know. It's not, you're not riding around, so it's tough.
Zach, then Chris.
This one's for either one of you guys, but I mean, you look at the schedule over the next 2 months and like through the 600, and I don't see a weak track on the schedule for you guys at all. What do you feel like the ceiling is for this group? Richmond. 2014.
Yeah, Richmond and Martinsville, bud. You haven't been paying attention. Those next two are circled big time. And I don't, you know, there's, like we talked about it, there's different types of wins. You know, we're definitely going to shoot for the stars, but we're gonna get a win out of the next 2 weeks one way or another. So it doesn't have to be a victory and a trophy, but we have not been good at Richmond. We have not been good at Martinsville, and we need to be. So right away, that's all we're focused on right now.
Chris?
ChrisKitchens.com. Rudy, speaking of Richmond, it's going to be cold there next weekend. high lows at night in the lower upper 40s. Is that what kind of race are we going to see there?
Yeah, I mean, it's we haven't raced at night there in forever, you know, with next gen at all. So I don't know. I really don't. I mean, the tire wear is going to be, and the fall off is still going to be high. It's just going to be in a different, you know, not as much as a summer race at 3 o'clock for sure, but it's still going to be high. Still going to be sliding around. Still going to have some awesome strategy situations, two stop and three stop and stages and all of that. And that's what you have to get amped up about Richmond. You know, I don't, you know, sometimes you don't get the side by side, but you generally have a heck of a race or a strategy involved in it. So that's what we're expecting. We just hope to have a car to compete good enough to be in, you know, making those calls that matter.
And William, this is your first cup win from the pole. So you're able to book in the weekend with a pole and a win. Is that playing significance?
Oh yeah. I mean, 13 poles and never won a race. So the expectations get too high, I think. So it's true. I mean, I think, you know, this weekend felt like, regardless of where we were starting, we felt like we were just going to go out and execute a good race. And that's how I tried to stay throughout the weekend. And I feel like other times when I qualify in the pole, I get a little excited and start to expect to win. And, you know, it's just a long race. You can't, you don't know until you start.
Go back to yep. Rob.
William, just kind of curious, I believe your dad was here at the race, and I know he missed the Daytona 500, so how special was it to win this race in front of him with your mom around and having your family support?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, they got to come out here yesterday, flew in yesterday, and got to see the race, and it's cool to have them here, and just got a chance to go to dinner last night. Dennis Lambert, who was my first crew chief, he was on the radio today. He was one of our spotters, so it was really cool to have him, and just, yeah, kind of felt like a little bit of a homecoming. I think that's his first cup win he's been at. So he always joked that he was bad luck. So then Rudy brought him on. Worked out.
Any final questions for William or Rudy? All right. Thank you both, and congratulations again.
Thanks.